Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Hey, friends. Welcome back.
Hope everybody's having a wonderful summer.
Yes, let's talk about the weather.
No,
like we always do.
We are enjoying
hot,
a trip to the States.
Humid. Yes.
Time with fam.
It's been great. And just had, yeah, some really encouraging times with coworkers as well recently. Actual coworkers, not just you, our fans.
Correct.
The thousands of you out there.
Yes.
We are excited today to be able to share with you a word from a good friend of ours and a good friend of God's work all around the world. Pastor Michael Clower, known him for many years. He has been a pastor in the States for decades. He has been supportive of the work. He has sent ones from his church, supported and engaged unengaged unreached people groups from his church. Just an incredible advocate for the work.
Yes, and has been a bit of a shepherd to us.
That's right.
In certain times over the years. And there was one time that Pastor Michael preached a sermon to a group of us, and it especially convicted us.
Yeah.
And it was about fighting entitlement.
That's right.
And I still remember him talking about when we get disappointed on the field or we don't get what we want. And I remember him saying, well, what did you expect? Yeah. What were you signing up for?
Yep.
And it was a word that we needed at the time. And as we've been on the field for several years, we've just seen the temptation to give in to entitlement or complacency or just expecting different things. So we asked Pastor Michael to share it so that you all could hear as well. And we pray that God will use it for you.
And I'm sure you would be equally convicted as we were. I hope this leads you to repentance.
Yes. So enjoy.
Man, I am so glad to be a part of this Coworkers Podcast. Let me ask you a personal question as we begin. If you have your Bibles, you go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to be unpacking that chapter in just a moment. But let me ask you this question, brother and sister. You have literally sold out to follow the Lord Jesus. I mean, you've given up everything. And you've left family, your friends, your hometown. You've moved thousands of miles. You're serving Him. Here's my question to you, just between us. What are you expecting out of all this? I mean, when all of this is over, you're facing the Lord Jesus, what is it that you're really expecting? And what are you expecting between that and then? That's a question we want to deal with. Matthew chapter 20, one of my favorite parables, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard also, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'Well, these last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" I got to tell you, when I first read that, I thought there was nothing more apparently unjust and unfair than this story. I can't imagine what modern-day AFL-CIO would think of this. But our Lord Jesus had a tremendous lesson in this parable for us. I think many times we miss it because of the chapter division. That's unfortunate. When Matthew wrote this, there were no chapter divisions or verses. And I believe what Jesus is saying here in chapter 20 deals directly with what has just happened in chapter 19. Because chapter 20, verse 16 says, "So the last will be first and the first last." And do you see the last verse in verse chapter 19? Chapter 19, verse 30, "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." And because of that, I believe this parable, Jesus is illustrating something that has just happened to them. What is it? Well, when you see chapter 19, you'll see that the Lord is in Perea. He's on the other side of the Jordan River. He's making his last final journey up to Jerusalem, up to Calvary. And in some unnamed city in Perea, as Jesus and the disciples are walking through a town, there comes a rich young ruler, broad daylight. He falls down on his knees. Unashamedly, he says publicly, "Didaskala agathod, a good master, a good teacher. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Wow, you got to admire this guy. And so Jesus deals with him gently. He gives him some great teaching about who is good, only God. And Jesus is not denying his goodness. He's affirming his deity. That's why he's good. And then he deals with the law and to show this man he's really broken the law. And Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack. Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me." And when he said that, this man, the Bible says, he went away sorrowful, verse 22 of chapter 19. Sorrowful, stagnazo. It's the word for the lowering of a sky in Matthew 16, verse 3. There's a storm brewing inside of him, and the storm that's on the inside was showing on the outward side. And he turned away. And when he turned away, these disciples said, "Master, what are you doing? I mean, this man would be the greatest catch we've ever seen. Do you realize he has everything that we don't have? We don't have influence. We don't have power. We don't have position. We don't have prestige. We have no money." These were just unlearned and ignorant fishermen. And this young man had everything. He was in the prime of his life. He had influence. He had power. He had position. He had possessions. He was rich. He had it all. They thought, can you imagine what he could do for our cause? But he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What a prospect. What a wonderful thing it could have been if he had just been a part of us. But he walked away. And these guys couldn't figure it out. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Did you see that? I mean, you want to know who can be saved? No one can be saved on their own. But anybody can be saved with God. That's what he says. Jesus looked at them in verse 26 and says, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." And so they're walking along. And I could just hear Peter in his mind, "Lord, I wish you would have let him be one of us. I mean, he had so much, but you know everything, and you know what's right. I don't know everything." And this man, he wasn't willing to give up everything. So if he wasn't willing to give up everything, he doesn't deserve anything. And then all of a sudden, I could almost see the light bulb come over Peter's head. In verse 27, Peter said, "See? We've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Lord, we've given up everything for you. And what are we going to get out of this?" And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on the glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. And then Jesus tells them this parable, this landowner. He goes out looking for people to work in his vineyard. And the very first guy say, well, okay, here's our MOU. Here's our memorandum. Here's our contract. We will work for a denarius. A denarius was usually a full day's wage for a full day's work. That was their agreement. And so Jesus said, okay, I'll give you what you ask. And then others joined 3 hours later, 6 hours later, 1 hour. Some only worked 1 hour. And at the end of the day, do you know who he rewarded first? The first will be last. So those first hired were the last ones in the line. And those last ones hired were the first in the line. And Jesus gave those last hired a denarius. And these guys were looking up, what are you doing? This is wrong. This is not fair. Oh, boy. Jesus said, do I not have a right to do with what belongs to me? Are you going to begrudge me generosity? What a lesson. What a lesson. Working on contract. Working for what we think we're going to get out of it. Those of us who serve the Lord Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it in my life over these past 50 years of servants of the Lord who things didn't turn out exactly the way they thought it would, and man, were they disappointed. They didn't get what they thought they deserved. Hey, let me just share with you a few simple lessons from this. Lesson number one, don't ever try to bargain with God. Don't ever try to bargain with God. You know why? You'll end up cheating yourself. Do you not know that God loves you and he has so much more for you than you would ever imagine? He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ask or think, Paul says in Ephesians. That's him. I remember when my children were smaller, and one of them, I'd ask the children, would you do this? It was something outside about cleaning up the yard. If y'all would do this, I'll take care of you. And one of the children said, Dad, I'll do it if you'll give me a quarter. And I said, okay, I'll give you a quarter. Well, he didn't realize at the time that I'd planned to give him a dollar. But he wanted a quarter, he got a quarter. Don't ever try to bargain with God, beloved, or you'll be cheating yourself. You've got a loving Heavenly Father who wants to give you much more. You remember, hey, Solomon, he told Solomon, ask me anything, ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. And so Solomon said, you've made me ruler over all these people. Here's the one thing I'm asking you for. Give me wisdom. And so God said, I told you I would give you anything you asked for. And you didn't ask for riches or honor, but you asked for wisdom. And because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. But in addition to wisdom, I will give you honor and riches such as has never been seen. And that's exactly what he'll do. Dear brother and sister, just trust God. Don't try to bargain with him. And lesson number two, I just wrote down things that God spoke to my heart about in this passage. The second lesson was don't try to keep your own books. Don't try to keep your own books. Don't try to remind God what you've done for him. They said, I could see these guys in verse 11. When they received it, they grumbled. Can you imagine somebody serving the master and grumbling? They grumbled at the master of the house saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Lord, do you see I've put in this many hours? Don't keep your own books. Friends, he's keeping the books. He knows what we did. He knows what we're still going to do. Here's a third lesson. Don't focus on the other laborers in the field. No. Take your eyes off of them. You remember this matter of following Jesus. Jesus said, take up the cross. There's so much truth in that matter of the cross. The cross has two bars, a vertical bar representing our relationship with God and a horizontal bar representing our relationship with other people. And both of them together make the cross. In other words, it's impossible for me to be right with God if I'm wrong with another brother or sister. And so the New Testament warns us who follow him, especially those of us who serve him, beware of envy and jealousy and casting doubts on others. We're in Matthew chapter 19 and 20, but back in Matthew chapter 17, Matthew 17 and verse 19, remember they brought this little boy to the disciples and said, the man said, could you help my son? And they couldn't do it. And Jesus cast the demon out of the son. And in Matthew 17, verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately. And they said, Master, why could we not cast it out? We have no power. Oh, boy. And then chapter 18, these same disciples, chapter 18, verse 1, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Listen, get this in context. Chapter 18 follows chapter 17. And I believe that's true in every translation, even in the Living Bible. And so you have to see this in the context. Why were these guys not getting it done? Why could not we cast it out? Two things. Chapter 17, a lack of faith. Chapter 18, a lot of fussing and arguing. And that's why in chapter 18, remember the context, all of this is continuing. Jesus says in verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens, you've gained your brother. And then he talks about Peter came and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 77 times, is that enough? Jesus said, no, not seven times 77. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, talent was about 35 kilos. Here's a man that owed him 16 and a half years' wages, and he was forgiven. And that man who had been forgiven of 16 and a half years of debt finds a guy that owes him $20, and he begins to fuss and fight and throw him into prison. Here's the truth. Don't focus. Don't fuss with other laborers. Forgive them. Now, some of you are thinking, does he know who he's talking to? I know who I'm talking to. Do you know the number one issue of people, the number one problem that they face is relationships? You and I both know that's true. Oh, I forget who it was that said it. Look at others, you'll be distressed. Look at yourself and you'll become depressed. But look at Jesus and you'll be blessed. I remember how the book of John ends in John 21. They're on the shores of the Galilee and Jesus has that personal time with Peter. Do you love me? Three times he asked him. And then Jesus turns to Peter and tells him how he's going to die. John 21, verse 18, he says to Peter, I tell you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when Jesus had spoken this to Peter, he said, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. There's John. Saw John, and he said, Lord, what about him? What about this man? And Jesus said, if I will, that he continue till I die. What is that to you? You follow me. Well, what a lesson in that. Brothers and sisters, don't focus on other laborers. Focus on the Lord of the harvest. And then another lesson, don't measure your service by quantity. Measure it by quality. Don't measure your service to the Lord by how much you do. Measure by why you do it. Why do you do it? Do you do what you do because you've got to do it or because you get to do it? That's why I love college football. I love college football and I endure NFL. NFL players do what they do because they've got to. College players do what they do because they get to. You see the difference? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I've got to preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, because I've been entrusted with a stewardship. But if I do this willingly, I have a reward. So why are you doing it? Measure your service by the quality, not quantity. Reese Howells, you remember hearing the name Reese Howells, great leader in the Welch Revival, worked down in the coal mines 12 hours a day. And then after a 12-hour shift, he would come out, walk 2 miles into a town to teach the Bible, walk back home 2 more miles, get up, start the next day again. One day he was walking home after one of these Bible studies. He'd worked 12 hours, then walked 2 miles, and as he was walking home, it was raining. And by the time he got home, he was drenched. And he walked inside the house and started taking off his solid, wet overcoat. And his father was standing there. And his father said, "Son, I wouldn't go there for $100. And Reese looked at him and said, "Neither would I. It's not about the money, is it?" And let me give you another lesson. God rewards faithfulness, not seniority. Have you noticed there's no seniority in God's kingdom? Have you noticed you don't move up? How do you define success? If you worked for this company for 30 years, how would you define success? In fact, at the end of those 30 years, if you met the Lord, how would you know if you won, if you were successful? He would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There it is. You measure success by faithfulness. And let me just give you one more truth. The truth is, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays. It pays every step of the way. My wife has a plaque downstairs in one of our rooms that we've had for over 40 years. And it says, "Work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but the retirement is out of this world." Jesus said in chapter 19, verse 29, "Everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or land for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Well, what do you want out of it? Do you want him? Abraham left it all for the Lord, and the Lord told him in Genesis 15, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." That's it. That's what I want out of it. I want him. "Where shall I work today, dear Lord, as my love flowed full and free?" Then the Lord pointed to an obscure place and said, "Serve there for me." "Oh, no, not there," I pled. "No one will ever see, no matter how well my work is done, not that place for me." But when the Lord spoke, he was not harsh, but he spoke so tenderly. "Tell me, my precious child, are you working for them or for me?" Nazareth was an obscure place. In fact, so was Galilee. Friend, if you'll just trust in Jesus, go out into the fields that are wide into harvest and work faithfully for him, I promise you, at the end of the day, he'll do you right. He'll do you better than you've ever imagined. Serve the Lord with gladness. Thank you for letting me spend this time with you.